Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Lamentations, please. The book of Lamentations. Lamentations is right after the book of Jeremiah. This is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. You go to the major prophet books in your Old Testament, find Jeremiah, and then the next book is Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 this morning. We're going to be reading verses 21 through 23. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful passage, as Jeremiah recalled and thought and brought hope to his life. God, help us today. Meet our needs today as you did Jeremiah. God, I pray that you would help our pastor as he comes. Use him to speak to us today, to hear what you have for us. And Father, if there's somebody in the room or on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, forgive us. There's a hum in the PA system. We're working on trying to figure out what that is. Actually, it's a mind-altering thing. We're going to brainwash you, and then we're going to take another offering. Okay, so just stay with us on that, please. The good news and bad news this morning. Good news. The sermon has one word to it. Bad news, the sermon has more words after that, but good news, and the word today is mercy. Mercy. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if we think about mercy, and you look it up in your Bible, you'll find that the word mercy and the word grace are very similar in their meanings. Grace means this. Grace means God gives me what I do not deserve. Unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Grace, God gives me what I do not deserve. Mercy is, God doesn't give me what I do deserve. You and I experienced mercy this past year. Did you realize it? You did. And I guarantee you this year, 2018, you'll experience more mercy from God. In Jeremiah, this book of Lamentations, this is the funeral message for the city of Jerusalem. Jeremiah is the prophet of the day, and an invading army has come through and literally wiped out the city of Jerusalem. I mean, tore the walls down, set the temple on fire. There are dead carcasses laying in the streets that are bloated from lying there. Jeremiah's up on the side of a mountainside, as it were, outside of Jerusalem, and he's looking down into the city that he once lived in. The wreckage is still burning, and the walls are destroyed, and the temple is gone, and people are lying in the streets dead, and he laments what he sees. It's a funeral thing. While Jeremiah's there lamenting what he saw, and it took place in this place, he talks about the things that took place. He talks about what has been lost. And then we get to our text verse this morning, and he says, this I recall, verse 21, to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Now, how do you have hope? Looking at a destroyed city with everything wiped out and your future gone. Here's how he did it, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. By the way, compassion in the Bible and mercy are very similar in their meanings. That's what mercy is. God's compassionate kindness to us. God's bestowed favor. These two young ladies right here, you're not doing something else, right? What are the earplugs for? There we go. Thank you very much. Don't come to church and fool around like that. Now, come on, kiddos. Pay attention. Compassion. You say, well, that wasn't very compassionate. Yeah, it is. The truth of the matter is God's compassion and kindness bestowed upon us is where his mercy comes from. God's mercy. How can you see mercy in a destroyed city? How do you see mercy in a wiped out life? You understand something now. After Jerusalem is destroyed, Israel will go into captivity for 70 years. These people here who live through this destruction from this army, they won't go back there again. They'll die before they see their city rebuilt. Yet he said, the Lord's mercies were not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah saw God's mercy even in the most difficult circumstances and time of his life. See, here's what we think. Well, if God is so merciful, then why does something bad have to happen to me? I mean, if he's merciful, he'd keep the bad from me, right? So then there's no troubles. I don't have any loss. I don't have any trouble. I don't have any difficulty. Hey, if God is so merciful, I've had skeptics before when I talk to them about the Lord say, well, if God is really that merciful, how come there's all this sickness in the world? Why is there famine and pestilence and disease and mudslides and fires? And if there's really a merciful God in heaven, then why? I always stop them. I say, well, now, first of all, you get to ask that question if when everything was going good, you gave God all the credit. When the sun was shining and we had enough rain to fill the reservoirs and you had food in your stomach and clothes on your back, then you get to question God. But if you just went on with life and all you're going to do is blame him for the bad, you don't get to say anything. Skeptics don't like that because it makes sense. Ladies, may I say this too? Look at me. You understand, God didn't put sin in this world. God made this world perfect. Everything was perfect when he made it. There was no death, no disease. There were no hospitals. There were no jails. There was no aging. There was no old. There was no death. Sin brought all this into the world. Let's blame sin for what it is. And we brought that, and we still do, by the way, so don't blame Adam and Eve. But the truth is, this thing about mercy is just God's compassionate kindness. Do you realize the mercy of God this morning? So when we talk about mercy, I want to talk to you about a couple things this morning. Number one, I want to talk to you about the mercy we have received. There's two kinds of mercy you and I receive. The mercy we do not realize and notice, and the mercy that we ask for. You received mercy today. Do you know why? That's why you're here. Mercy. Someone could have run a stop sign and pushed you out into forever. Wound up in a hospital with a twisted body. That was mercy that got you here. No, I just drove carefully and I watched out for things. No, you didn't. No, it was mercy. Mercy got you up out of bed this morning. Mercy covered you today. Mercy got you to church. Mercy was over your life this week. God's mercy, his compassionate kindness, care, watching over you. You received mercy this week and didn't even know it. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. Let me show you mercy you didn't know you received. How many of you today, you're a Christian? You know that you're a Christian. Would you just hold your hand up for a moment? Keep it up. You know that you're a Christian. You're a child of God. You know that. Now, keep your hand up and let me ask you this question. How many of you, the first time you heard about salvation and Christ and salvation, the first time you got saved, the first time? See, the truth of the matter is 99.9% of you today got more than one chance to trust Christ as your Savior. You know what that is? Yeah, that's mercy. Hey, it's mercy. God sends his son Jesus to die for us, and we hear the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is God loved us. Christ came and died for us to pay for our sins. He stood in the way of the judgment of God and took upon himself the punishment and the penalty and the payment of our sin. And then he died bearing that sin, and he went to the grave, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And then God offers to us what is called the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You don't pay for it. It's paid for. You don't earn the gift of eternal life. It was purchased for you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then when that is presented to you clearly, 99.9% of us said, no, not now, why would he give you another chance? Mercy. Because his compassion fails not. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he gave you another chance. I cannot tell you how many chances you get. I can simply tell you this. It's mercy that you still have another chance to hear that God loves you, Jesus died for you, and if you will put your faith and trust in Christ alone for your salvation, you can have eternal life and a home in heaven. That's mercy. And it's new every morning. Amazing how God would be willing to give us his precious son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and people would turn him down, and he would still give them a chance to have salvation anyhow. Well, that's mercy we didn't know we had. May I say this morning, if you're here today and you're not sure of eternal life and salvation, or for a fact, you know you're not, you have the mercy of God to come to Christ today. Please accept that. Please realize he's willing to leave the door of grace open for you just a little bit longer, and all you have to do is trust Christ. Come on now, put aside all the junk that keeps people from coming to the Lord for their salvation and just trust Christ to save you. It's mercy, my friend. It is mercy that he gives you. See, we don't realize that. We think to ourselves, well, that was, you know, I just got another chance. Why would he give us another chance? Because of mercy. We had that opportunity because of mercy. He was gracious because of mercy. The mercy we have received, many of us did not even realize that. See, we look at you're going down the road in a car accident, for instance. You have a car accident. You say, well, what was that all about, Pastor Johnson? Did you walk away from it? I teach a Bible college in the Bay Area, as some of you know, and I leave here about 2:30 in the morning on Tuesdays and drive down the Bay Area, teach 3 or 4 classes, and then drive back home on that day. One morning, driving down there on the freeway down here just south of town, our son Peter was driving, and he was going with me that day. Our car was full of gas. About 3 o'clock in the morning, we're just past one of those rest stops south of Cottonwood, and a coyote ran out in front of the car. I was in the passenger seat without a seatbelt on. And before I could stop him, I said, don't. He jerked the wheel and flipped the car. Now we're sliding down the freeway on the top of the car at 75 miles an hour, sheared off an oak tree and dropped off an embankment by about 10, 12 feet right on top of the car. And it happens. If you've been in an accident like that, you know it happens just like that. Boom. And it was over. The next thing you know, I'm in the back window of the car. When I said, don't, and he popped the wheel, I thought to myself, I'm going to get thrown out of the car and crushed to death. So I jammed my fist into the roof of the car trying to keep myself in the seat. And with these amazing biceps, I jammed my fist into the roof. When that thing hit that oak tree and spun around and dropped down like that, it threw me in the back window. When we hit the ground, the cruise control was still going. The car's wheels were turned to 75 miles an hour, laying upside down. I look up there, and my son was hanging upside down by his seatbelt, and I was in the back window. I said, you okay? He goes, yeah. I said, just get out of this car. Turn it off, and let's get out of this car fast. I kicked the door open. We got out of the car and stood there. I had a little abrasion on my knuckle. That was all I had. Called Brother Evans, as a matter of fact, come and get me. Highway Patrol, they came. Love Highway Patrolman. He walks up. He looks over the bank. He goes, that was a nice car about 5 minutes ago. Okay, now look at me. You say, well, if God was so merciful, you wouldn't have had the wreck. No, God was merciful. We walked away from the wreck. Huh? Yeah, that's the mercy we received. We didn't ask for. All the years I've traveled, it's almost 20 years of driving down that college, on 250,000 miles I've driven on that freeway. One accident in 250,000 miles. Now, we have guys that drive us down there. Some guy from Brother Rule's church, he goes with me. He drove us, and this guy named Larry Daniel. He walks up to me to introduce himself at 2:30 in the morning. Hi, I'm Larry Daniel. I have diabetes, I have strokes, and I pass out. I look at Brother Rule, and I go, he's driving? I'd be working in the back seat. I look up, and here he'd be driving down the road. Now, I asked for that mercy. I'll tell you that right now. The truth is, Why don't we get this idea that mercy doesn't mean he protects you from everything? Mercy means he takes you through what you go through in your life. And listen to me, friend, as bad as it can be, you're never going to get what you deserve. True? There's the mercy we receive that we don't ask for. Then there's the mercy we receive we do ask for. Hebrews 4 and verse number 16 said, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain," what, church? Yeah, "may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, sometimes you ask for mercy. That's when you come to God for forgiveness. It's mercy that he forgives you. Mercy. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to get it right, so he wants to forgive you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, mercy, to forgive us our sins, mercy, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, mercy. See, when you come to God and ask for forgiveness, he forgives you because of mercy. And you ask for forgiveness, you get mercy. You ask for grace, you get mercy. You ask for blessings, you get mercy. And God, you know, it's not wrong to ask for it. It's a wise person who realizes we have an understanding, amazing, compassionate God who's willing. One of his great attributes is his mercy. My goodness, his compassions fail not. And his mercy's new every morning. I don't have to go get him. He's got them ready for me. You know why? Because I wore the ones out from yesterday. I need new mercies for this day today. Yes? And so that day I'm going to ask God to give us mercy. It's a mercy that you ask for. Then there's the mercy you must acknowledge. We're not lucky, people. You understand that? Please get that out of your vocabulary. You're not lucky. You are the object of the mercy of God. If he was so merciful, then why did something bad happen to me? You see the bad as it was, not the bad as it could have been. Just recently, my wife's mother fell, hit her head, had a bad brain bleed, not this Tuesday, but last Tuesday. We rushed to Sacramento, and we thought she was going to heaven. You say, well, if God was so merciful, she wouldn't have fallen. No, God was merciful that she came to the door of death, and she's still with us. Do you see mercy there? Can I ask you a question? Do you see mercy there? See, you live in a fantasy world. That somehow God's merciful grace means he'll keep you from all troubles and problems in your life. No, mercy is he takes you through those things, bestows upon you the help that you need to get there, and then you go, you need to acknowledge that. Our thing is we gripe about the bad instead of realize it could have been worse. It could have. Have you not learned now to say it can't get any worse than this? You've learned to say that, right? You learned to not say that. You've learned to not say it can't be any worse than it is right now. Oh, yes, it can. Yes, it can. But the truth is, we look at what could have been, how bad it is, etc., instead of looking at it and saying, but you know what? It could have been a lot worse than this. God was willing to bestow upon me mercy, and I need to acknowledge that. In your book of Psalms, 227 times in the Old Testament alone, mercy is mentioned. And if you read your Psalms very much, you'll find David was a man who fully understood the mercy of God in his life. He was chased, he was hounded, he had to stay in caves, had to run away from his own family at times, had his own son wanted to kill him. But David understood that through all of that, the Lord was merciful in taking care of him, providing for the need. Sometimes difficult as it was, God was still merciful and provided for him. Have you acknowledged the mercy of God? We ended 2017. You know, we do those look back over the year things. Did you ever look back at 2017 and see certain times and places and things in your life? And did you see the mercy of God and did you acknowledge it? Because God was merciful to you. It should be acknowledged. We should recognize the fact that our God has bestowed upon us his compassions. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Let us acknowledge today that it was God's mercy that kept things from being worse in our lives. Hey, it was the mercy of God that kept things good when we didn't deserve how good it was. No, we're not lucky. I don't want to say I'm lucky ever again the rest of my life. Boy, you were lucky. No, I'm not lucky. Not only am I blessed, I was experienced the mercy of God in this thing. One interesting things about taking missions trips and going to other parts of the world is seeing that California drivers are not really that bad. I thought it was crazy when we were in Mexico. I really thought they were crazy. Not bad. Then we're over in Russia. And those guys are nuts, but not bad. Then we're in the Philippines. And we're driving along with a Filipino pastor, Brother Lorena, was with us here a few months ago. And you're driving down a freeway, and whenever it starts to back up, he just pulls over on the shoulder and keeps going. Calls it the Memorial Lorena Memorial Highway. It just goes bombing down the shoulder of the road. He was crazy, but not bad. India, the pinnacle. Those people are insane. How there are not dead bodies laying everywhere is beyond my comprehension. And we were there for like 10 days, and I was sitting in the front seat of this van while our Indian pastor, Brother Banuel, was driving us around. And I mean, he would pull out, and a semi-truck is coming right at us. And just about the time we're going to have a head-on, he'd pull over. Between an ox-drawn cart and a guy on a motorcycle carrying two goats and three kids. And then back out there, and again with this thing. And I just kept sitting there thinking, I'm going to die. I'm going to heaven from India. This man is going to go. And he's just driving around, drinking his soda, talking about things like nothing's going on. And I always thought myself a pretty aggressive driver. This man was insane. After 10 days of that, came home with everything intact. Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, it was mercy. I acknowledged that God looked down and said, it's not time for Mike Johnson to go to heaven. He's not going from India. Heard a preacher say years ago, I don't want to know when I'm going to die. I want to know where, and I'm just not going to go there. Truth is, you can't do anything about that. See, this thing about mercy, people, is we need to acknowledge the fact that God in his compassionate kindness has bestowed upon us mercy. Let's see the mercy of God. Jeremiah's looking at a ruined city with bloated bodies in the streets and no hope of ever returning home again. And he never would. But he said his mercies are new every morning. My city is destroyed, but there's still mercy here. He acknowledged the mercy of God in his life. Now take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5 this morning, please. God's mercy. Acknowledge it. Realize it. Understand it. You go to Walmart and get out of there alive. You've been merciful. God's been merciful to you. There's the mercy we received we didn't ask for. The mercy we received we did. There's the acknowledging of God's mercy. That's important. Number three, and this is very important now. Matthew chapter 5, please, and look at the beatitude statement of verse number 7 there. Matthew 5, verse 7. You find it, church? Look at it. Ready? Read it with me. Verse 7. Ready? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Then there's the mercy I need to bestow on others. Kind of said, we get and we don't get. If I get this verse right, my resource for the future mercy of God is dependent on how merciful I am to you. For blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. And obtain means to purchase. You're going to buy some mercy for yourself if you're willing to give some mercy to somebody else. Now, hey, look at me. We're biblical Christians. This is the book. Huh? This is the final authority. Right? This is light and life and hope. Hey, it's a sharp two-edged sword. It's got edgy stuff to it. It's all in this book. It's a book. We're biblical Christians. We're not going to give in or compromise about anything we believe for any reason. Mercy that causes you to compromise is not mercy. It's just compromise. So how does mercy help a biblical Christian in a world that's gone screwy? Backwards, upside down. Man, they got everything going the wrong direction. How in the world do you extend mercy without compromising what you believe? It's very simple. You show compassion while you hold to your convictions. First of all, why do you expect lost people to live the Christian life? They're lost. They need Jesus. Hey, they need salvation. That's what they need. So I'm not shocked when an unsaved person acts like a heathen. They're heathens. Can't do anything about it. I even tell them they're heathens. I do it nicely. Talking to somebody the other day, and I said, well, do you go to church? I don't believe in church. I said, are you a Christian? I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in God. I go, oh, you're a heathen. And he stopped and looked at me. He goes, what? I said, you're a heathen. But I smiled. Wasn't that merciful? Fortunately, he was under 30 and didn't know what heathen was. He thought it was a band. And most of them are. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to receive, obtain, it means purchase for the future. You want to purchase some more mercy for down the road. You better be merciful in how you do things. All that means is give some compassion to people. Hey, how about a little kindness and a little compassion for their condition and their situation? How about it? I get aggravated with people just like you do. I don't understand people who stand in line with 15 items or less with the two baskets full of stuff. I have a really hard time extending mercy to somebody who can't read a sign. And I try to share it with them. Like, hey, Spanky, you're in the wrong line, but it doesn't work. The truth is compassion to people. People, don't you understand? You don't have to compromise to be merciful. What you do in your compassion with people is understand, I have received mercy I didn't ask for. Hey? They're not going to ask, all these people, they're not going to ask you for mercy. Some of them are just flat rude. Maybe they're raised by wolves or something. I'm not sure what happened to some of these people. But that's all right. They're not going to, please be kind to me, I'm rude. They're not going to do that. But compassion is to extend some mercy to someone who didn't ask for it. Yeah. Some compassion. And when somebody asks for some forgiveness, guess what you do? If you're wise about your receiving mercy, when you ask for your forgiveness, you give it to them just like you got yours. You give them the same forgiveness you received when you so freely asked. That's why, look at me, that's why Christians who say, well, I just can't forgive, say it the right way. I don't want to forgive. I'm better than God. I don't have to forgive like God forgave me. That's wrong, isn't it? Please tell me you know that's wrong. Okay? God was willing to forgive you. Mercy says, I'm willing to forgive them, no matter what. There's a compassion that comes with it. There's something about it. And you know what you're doing? You're obtaining mercy, for the day will come. If you won't be merciful, you won't get mercy. So we biblical Christians, we better be very careful about how we carry out our convictions and our beliefs. You can do it with compassion and still do it right. You don't have to give in, but you dead sure better not be unkind about it. And you better not be rude in how you treat people. And you better not be unwise in the way you carry out what you believe. And listen to me carefully, but you better stand for what's right, but you better have mercy with it. Because you see, if you're one of those kind of people who say, well, I don't understand, people just really unkind to me all the time in my life, maybe you better check your mercy. You do reap what you sow. If you don't extend mercy to somebody, why do you expect someone else to turn around and extend mercy to you? A little kindness wouldn't go wrong with anybody. Okay? I've had people be very unkind to me at times. I've had people threaten to kill me. I'm wearing a bulletproof vest right now underneath this suit. People threatened to kill me. I had a pastor friend of mine, went to a business meeting in his church, wore a bulletproof suit, bulletproof vest. He was having problems. You probably figured that out, huh? I've had people vandalize my house, say awful things to my children. By the way, that's like 0.1%. Everyone else has been very kind. And the good part is you hang around long enough, you get to do those people's funeral. Anyway, the truth is, God dropped them like third period French, amen. The truth is, that kind of stuff happens. And many of those people, I had an opportunity to turn around and help them later on. And guess what I did? I helped them. So you're just trying to be a good Christian. Well, yeah, that's true. But see, I was trying to buy a little more mercy for me. For my time, look at me, for the times when Mike Johnson is knucklehead, stubborn, and won't do what he's supposed to do. Then my God extends a little mercy to this knucklehead because I was merciful to that knucklehead. I'm not pointing at anybody over here. To that knucklehead, okay? For blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, my goodness. Those mercies are new every morning. Got up with the sunrise today, before the sunrise today. Watch God wash that eastern sky over there with those clouds. Put out a beautiful sunrise, start another day. And there was mercy waiting on me when I got out of bed this morning. And there was mercy waiting on you too. Mercy needs to be bestowed. It's not a savings account. You're a conduit. It's supposed to come to you, and then you extend mercy to others who don't ask for it and those who do. And then you acknowledge that the merciful goodness of God in your life to others. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.